just kind of putting always putting things in context in terms of it, just the way that God works things out is that, you know, as we come to the end of our retreat journey, if you will, in kind of our pilgrim journey here, the Sunday readings here are really very appropriate in the sense is that they really undergird everything that we are talking about today, or what we've been talking about this whole time on retreat. And that is that our faith is not, it's not a bunch of rules and regulations. It's not a set of propositions. But really fundamental to the core of our faith and to what we believe is that it's about a relationship of love. It's about God's love for us and our response in love to God. And ultimately that love is manifested to us in a most special way in the person of Jesus Christ. And that love is communicated to us through that intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So to have this, you know, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. That's really ultimately what gives meaning to our life is ultimately it's Jesus is, he's laying it right out here. It's the gospel of love. This is the most important thing. Is to love and to be loved. And so when we start understanding that's the fundamental principle of our faith, then how we live that out and how we live in a relationship of love, then it manifests it then through this total consecration to Jesus through Mary. And so so kind of that last part of the pilgrimage, that earthly journey that Mary had here before she, it was when she was taken up into heaven. If we think about the mysteries of the Rosary, you know, the fourth joyful mystery, the Assumption, or the fourth a glorious mystery, the Assumption of Mary. And so, how do we situate that in terms of understanding this total consecration? Well, again, just to kind of put it in context on our pilgrimage that we took, it was one of the last days that we were there. We visited what is known as the Dormition Abbey. And Dormition in the Eastern Church just means the falling asleep. There's a theological question as to whether Mary died or not. You know, there's a difference of opinion. It's never really been defined because the argument goes this way: if Mary never committed a sin, then she, you know, shouldn't bear the effects or the fruits of the sin, which is ultimately death. And so that she was spared that death, and she was taken immediately at the end of her earthly course. She was taken up into heaven. The other side said that she was so configured to Jesus in everything, that even in his suffering and in his passion, that even with him, she ended up dying. But her death, in a certain sense, would have been a little bit different than ours, in the sense that it would have just been that handing over that next step, that next transition in life, to enter into that heavenly glory. Well, when the Holy Father defined the dogma of the Assumption, he left the question open. He just said, when the end of her earthly life was complete, or when her earthly life was complete, you know, he just left it open. So we don't know whether she did or not. But there in Jerusalem, they have that abbey where it's said that she was, whether she fell asleep or whether she died, she was taken up body and soul into heaven. Now, what does that mean for us, and why is that? Again, why is that important for us? Well, the first thing that I think is important for us is that it points to Mary's assumption, points to the resurrection. That she, in a sense, you know, Jesus, obviously he's God. He suffers, he dies, and then he rises from the dead and he ascends into heaven. But Mary is the first one of us you know, that is in a certain sense fully redeemed. That Mary has been preserved by the merits of Jesus Christ from original sin. She continues that union throughout the course of her life. She's, she gives herself in the Annunciation. She's there with Jesus in his passion. She's there at Pentecost for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so because she's had this union with Christ throughout her earthly existence, that assumption is manifesting to us what happens to us. Because as God has created us as a body-soul union, the reason that we have a separation at death of body and soul, that is the effect of sin. It's still one of the lingering effects of sin. So although Jesus has conquered sin, he's conquered death, that effect still remains until the end. When all things are, and so then we have this expectation of the resurrection of our bodies. As St. Paul says, that I will rise in the flesh in which I now stand. And so Mary becomes almost kind of like an eschatological sign, a sign of the future life of what we shall be like as fully redeemed, as fully transformed, of living that heavenly life, not just with our souls, but our body and soul experiencing that union with God. And that refulgence of his grace flowing over from our soul into our body. And that's the resurrected glory. So Mary, in a certain sense, is a sign for us that gives us hope for what we shall be like in heaven, of how we shall be transformed. Another one of the things that I think is important here is, you know, this, the church fathers, and we've talked about this a little bit already, they talk about how Adam and Eve, you know, together were responsible in that fall, and how Mary is the new Eve, and how she, in a certain sense, how Eve inaugurated that fall by presenting that to Adam. Mary inaugurates the redemption through her yes. So through Eve's no, sin, through Mary's yes. So Mary, you have this union in a certain sense that of in humanity between man and woman. And so in redemption, what it manifests is that Jesus in his human flesh is fully redeemed. But what this shows also is that the female body also has this dignity, that as the male body has been redeemed and transformed in the person of Jesus Christ, so now the female body has been fully redeemed in the person of Mary. And so it shows the dignity of the human body and the dignity of the female body. And that again is it's a very prophetic sign. It's a very important sign, because in our world, how is that? Not only is the human body becomes the object of so many distorted things, but especially the female body, of treating someone as an object for my lust or my gratification. You know, the billion-dollar a year pornography industry. And so much of that, it violates the dignity of women. So much of that is women become the victims in that industry, the slaves. And that's just one aspect. I mean, you talk about the whole human trafficking. You know, I mean, it does involve men, but so much of that is involving human trafficking is involving women. And so, what Mary's assumption is a reminder for us is the dignity of the human body, and especially the dignity of the female body. Because as fully redeemed, it stands as a witness to the truth of of that dignity shared in heaven. And so this, I think, is another important point as well. And then the last point that Mary shows, how Mary shows us the way and helps us in that way, is again the talks that we've been having during mealtime, that idea of totus tuus, totally yours. Again, going back to the Annunciation, may it be done unto me according to your word. That total handing on of self, that Mary gives everything to God. She puts everything at his service. And by making herself available to God and to the power of God, that Spirit works in and through her. And mighty deeds are done in and through her. And so that idea of total self-giving of Mary and of receiving the gift of God and being transformed in and through the gift of God, Mary receiving Jesus, of accept actively receiving, may it be done unto me according to thy word, she is putting everything of who she is, her body, her soul, everything at the service of God. Because love demands a total gift of self. When we sin, we're saying, I give everything except for, and there's that element of selfishness that is always in that. But Mary, in her purity of heart, gives everything. May it be done unto me according to thy word. Putting everything, entrusting who she is, body and soul, to God. And so again, in Mary's yes, we are able to receive and to entrust ourselves to God in and through her yes. And so that as she was complete in that self-giving, she enables us to have that total giving of ourselves to God. And what that total giving of ourselves to our Father in heaven through Jesus Christ, his Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit, what that enables us then is that when we have that love, that union with each person of the Most Blessed Trinity, then that love then transforms the world around us. That love then flows into every relationship, whether it be our family relationships, whether it be our work relationships, whether it be our community relationships. That love of God transforms everything around us because we have been transformed by God. And we are transformed to the extent that through his grace, through, as Mary said, yes, we are able to say yes to him. May it be done unto me according to thy word. So then this gospel of love makes sense. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. What is Mary doing? She's consecrated to God. She's giving him her mind, her heart, her soul, her body. Everything she gives to him. And so that becomes a model for us. And then flowing from that, love your neighbor as yourself. That love just naturally then flows. Imagine what it would have been like. I bet they had people, because of Mary's goodness and her love, I bet they had people at their house all the time. Just think of that. Just her sweetness and the love that she lavished upon each person that came through that door. Because of that intimacy that she had with God. Because she had given herself completely to him. May it be done unto me according to your word. You know, granted, we're not the Immaculate Conception. But that's what we want to strive for. Do people say that when they encounter us? Or do they say, "Whew, glad that's over"? Does that love flow in us Does that love flow through us? And that's what we want to pray for. To pray for that total giving, that total surrender, and that complete availability to wherever he will lead us, wherever he wants us to go. And Mary's availability, you know, it led her to a lot of hardship in life. It led her to, you know, they had to flee and go down to Egypt. They had to live in a foreign country. Then they came back and they had to kind of hide. And then, you know, when Jesus grows up, you know, and then she goes through the agony of the cross, the passion. May it be done unto me according to your word. Totus tuus, totally yours. This is what love is. And this is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we are loved. So Mary helps us to receive that love and to live in that love and to entrust our hearts to Almighty God. So as we go forth from this retreat and as we've taken this holy time together, let us really pray for that intercession of the Blessed Mother, that through that total consecration, as we consecrate ourselves to her, I am all yours, my queen and my mother, and all that I have is yours. That our hearts and our wills may be open to that transforming power of God's love. And as we live as in that love, is living and loving instruments of God in the world, is living tabernacles of his grace. Let us always say with Mary, may it be done unto me according to your word.